And today we're continuing that. So just open to the book of Colossians. I'll give you the text here in a moment. We're in chapter 3. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever asked yourself the question, why are we here? You ever thought about that? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my plan? Why am I here on this earth? Why do I live at Fort Smith, Arkansas in the year 2023? Have you ever thought about what the purpose of life was? I know that I have. And I'd be lying if I told you that I didn't. And today, I hope that I can give you an answer to this question. And this week, I've had to do some soul searching. I think I told you guys a couple of weeks ago about one of my classes taking. I've gone back to school. I'm trying to get my bachelor's degree in church ministries. And so been taken, and I took, and I'm in this class, and it's really making us do some soul searching and look at ourself and evaluate ourself and all these things. And it's like, I don't know about y'all, but I don't like looking at myself and evaluating myself. And I just don't like it. It makes me uncomfortable. You know, but it's made me ask some questions, and it's made me ask some good questions that I need to ask, and that all of us need to ask. But it's making me reexamine my motivation for doing the things that I'm doing. It's making me look at things. So that soul searching has led to this sermon for this week, and it goes along with our series that we've been doing the past 3 weeks. And today is week 4, and the topic is Jesus is greater than your desires. Your desires. I handed out a piece of paper. Y'all should have a piece of paper. It's got desires and dreams up at the top, or my desires and dreams at the top. And then it's got 5. And I have plenty of pens. There's pens all in front of you in the chairs. And I want you to take this piece of paper, and I'm going to give you just a minute. I want you to write down 5 things that's your desire, your dreams, whatever it may be. It could be anything. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you some time to do that before we go on. And they could be things that will be easy to do. It could be something that you think might be impossible, but you want to do. Maybe your dream is to climb Mount Everest. I don't know. Put that on there. That's not my dream. And I have no desire to climb Mount Everest, but some of you may. I don't know. But maybe if you want to earn $1 million down the way, that could be a dream. I don't know. Want to visit somewhere or get out of debt or be healthier. Maybe you want a miracle to take place in your life. Whatever it is, I want you to write it down, and I'm going to give you a minute or two. And I would say if you're at home watching this, to go ahead and you write down 5 things as well, even though you didn't get the piece of paper. Write it down and have it there, because we're going to use this here in a minute. Anybody have a hard time with this? Some of you is like, man, this is easy. I know what this is. I think about these all the time. Some of you are like, I don't ever think about this. I even sat down and wrote down my 5 things. I know I've had a little more time to do this, and I'm just giving y'all a minute or two, but we all have dreams and desires, don't we? All of us. Some dreams may be big. Some dreams may be little. Some may be seem like you'll never reach, and some you could accomplish today in the next hour. Whatever it is, we all have dreams. We all have desires. We all want something good out of our life, right? I mean, the person that's hung up on drugs never once said that, hey, I hope I get hung up on drugs someday. You know, the guy that's living on the streets never said, you know, hey, I hope I'm living on the streets someday. We all want good things for our life. We all want something great for our life. We all want to be something great or achieve something great. We want to dream the impossible, right? I mean, I try to dream. I try to sit down and dream. I remember us having dream sessions about this church, figuring out what we wanted to accomplish in this church. But we want to overcome any obstacles that get in our way, don't we? We want to combat those obstacles. We want to make sure that they are not a problem. And if we don't want that for ourselves, then I believe that we're lying to ourselves. So go with me to the book of Colossians. We're in chapter 3, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. I'll have it on the screen up there. Colossians chapter 3. And I want to begin at verse 1. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. I want to say this. If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, then your life and your identity as a Christian is wrapped up in your relationship with Christ. Therefore, we have to set our minds on spiritual matters. And we have to let our attitudes be determined by things above. As we become more in tune with the things of God, our desires and our motives, they tend to change. And if they haven't, we need to. Right? God is our priority. He's our first. He's our beginning. The day that we ask Jesus in our heart and be our Lord and Savior, we no longer wanted to do the things that we used to do. We now had different dreams and desires about our life. Now, I'm not here to tell you that the things that you dreamed a long time ago about your life won't come true. That's not what I'm here to say. But what I'm here to say is that when we became Christians, things changed in our life. We were no longer thinking about ourselves. We were no longer thinking about the things that we wanted, but we were thinking more of the things that God wanted. We no longer think about what we want. We think about what God wants. Now look at verse 5. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Now skip down to verse 8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So in these two verses, Paul covers two sets of sins. The first 5 refer to sexual sin. The second 5 to sins of speech. The first 5 were related to the cultural background of the Colossians and were particularly deadly to the life of the church. Not only did they need to deal with sexual immorality in all its variations, they also needed to deal with misused anger that often spilled over into evil speech. So he was using this. He was talking to the church at Colossians there. And these behaviors that Paul listed has no place in any Christian or in any church. And these things are a part of the old life that we had. And once we became a Christian, we are to put these things off, these repulsive sins of anger and speech, so that we can put on Christ's attitudes and his actions. It's so important that we do that. When we became a Christian, it was no longer about us, but it's about what God wants. That's my desire. I want what God wants. Go to verse 12. I'm skipping. I know I'm skipping down. It says, therefore, as God's chosen. So let me stop for just a second. That word therefore, basically, if you've ever seen the word therefore, it's all of this stuff. Now he's going to kind of wrap it up or kind of give you a little more to think about, okay? He's saying, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And I love this. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're God's chosen people. He has elected you to do His work for Him. When you elect an official, when you go to the ballot box and you elect someone as whatever, you know, your governor or mayor or whatever else you elect them as, you're electing them and hoping that they're going to do the job that you have elected them to do, right? That's what you're hoping. That's what we're all hoping. We're hoping that when we elect them, we check that box for that person and we're voting for that person to get put in. We are hoping that they're going to do the job that we have elected them to do. God has elected us to do His work for Him. You took a step of faith when you became a Christian. You decided to follow Jesus. You called on the name of the Lord. You are God's holy people. You have been set apart to God from the world. And as true believers, we have a desire to please God in every way. That's what we need to do. As believers, we have a desire to please God in every way. That's what we're supposed to do. We are to please God. We are here for God's purpose. And Paul gives us ways to do this. Compassion. Kindness. Humility. Gentleness. Patience. And we are to bear with each other and forgive one another. You are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians chapter 3 verse 14 says, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So all of the virtues that Paul listed and encouraged the believers in Colossae to develop are perfectly bound together in love. Love is what binds us together. Think about how many's ever gathered sticks? Anybody ever gathered sticks? You know what I'm talking about? And what happens if you gather sticks, they're just kind of all over the place, aren't they? I mean, they're just, because sticks are not perfectly straight, are they? How many's ever seen a bunch of perfectly, that you just went and got them out of the woods? It's very hard to find a lot of sticks that are perfectly straight, right? I mean, they've got, you know, little nicks where another branch is trying to come off, and so what do you do to keep them together? You take some rope or some twine or something, and you bind, right? You bind them together so they can be together. You see, love is what binds the church together. It's what binds us as believers together so that we can be who God wants us to be. In any congregation all across the globe, love must be used to unify the people and build them up. And if you're going to grow up and be mature in Christ, then you must make love a top priority of your life. It's so important that we learn to love each other and we learn to get along with each other and we learn to bear one another's burdens and walk with each other and help each other along the way. So whenever we make mistakes or when things aren't going the way that we think they should be going, right, we have someone that we can lean on, someone that we can trust in, someone that we can confide in and go to them and say, hey, look, I'm here for you, right? Or, hey, look, I need someone to pray with me, right? That's what we're here for. We're here as a body of believers. Now go to verse 17. This is going to wrap all of this up that I've been talking about. If you don't get any other verse today, if you don't hear anything else that I say today, hear this. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, I'll come back to that in a minute, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You hear that? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Did you see what Paul did there? Do you remember that that we read the vices that Paul listed in verses 5 and 8? And I told you that he listed two sets of sins. The first set refers to sexual sin. Whoa. And the second set refers to sins of speech. Now, Paul just listed a few things to give them an idea of the things to avoid. He didn't want to give them a big list of do's and don'ts. So he says what he is trying to say in one sentence. And this is where I want us to look at today. This 17, I'm going to read it again. I'm going to see if you get it. I've read this already numerous times, but I want you to memorize this. If you don't memorize any other verse, memorize this verse. Make it a part of your life. Make it a part of your speech. Make it a part of the lifestyle that you lead. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word, he covered the five that he talked about, or deed, that covered the other five, right? Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Have you ever thought about the word whatever? What was it in the 90s? Didn't they do the whatever? Wasn't that Clueless? Wasn't it that she did that? Whatever. But anyway, I had to put my tablet down for a moment to use two hands. But today, this word has become the verbal essence of the shoulder shirt, whatever. Yeah. And we just think of that word as whatever, no big deal, right? But if you look at it in Scripture, do you know that word whatever is very powerful? It's powerful. Let me show you, okay? Because when you look it up in the word in Scripture, it becomes much more than just whatever. It's very impactful. And in Scripture, the word whatever is a term indicating the totality of our commitment to God. And I want you to understand, did you know the word whatever, it occurs in the Scriptures 173 times? It's pretty significant here, isn't it? It's important. I think if God uses it that much, then I think it's important. I think He wants us to get something across. And many of the references speak of wholehearted obedience and blessing. And I want you to look at some of the verses. Joshua chapter 1, verse 16. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Here's a lot of whatevers. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. How about Matthew chapter 21, verse 22? If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask in prayer. That's powerful, isn't it? John chapter 15, verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, look at what he says. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the realm of the dead where you are going, there is neither working nor planning nor knowledge nor wisdom. Colossians 3:23. This is not our verse, but it's a few verses later. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Philippians 1:27 says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. that little bitty word there that we have tried to change its meaning in recent years, when we go to the scriptures, it's far more powerful than what we have ever thought about. Amen? Right? So, Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And then Paul goes back to the word and deed. Earlier he gave us the vices that were both word and deed, and now he's telling us that whatever we do, whether it's words or whether it's deeds, we're to do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So everything that we do and everything that we say should be done as a representative of the Lord Jesus. So when you act in someone's name, what are you doing? You're acting on that person's authority. When you act in someone's name, you're acting on that person's authority. You and are, as believers, are acting as Christ's representatives. We, as believers, we are a representative of Christ. Amen? That's who we are. I've asked Jesus into my heart. I believe that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Jesus loves me. I gave my life to Him. I surrendered my life to Him. It's no longer about my dreams and desires. Because whatever I am to do it unto Him. Amen? All my words that I say, all my deeds that I do, everything that I say or do is to be done for Him. I am His representative. You know, if you read in the Gospels, there's a lawyer that confronted Jesus, and he tried to trick him by asking him, what is the greatest commandment? Now, if you've ever read the Old Testament, you know there's a lot of do's and don'ts. Matter of fact, the Jews had over 600 laws. Can you imagine? I mean, that's a lot, right? I mean, it was don't do this and don't do that and do this and do that. And if this happens, then do this. And if this happens, then don't do this. And so on and so on and so on. Go read the book of Leviticus, and it's just full of laws. I mean, you know the Ten Commandments. We've heard them. We've got them plastered on our walls. We know what the Ten Commandments are. But the lawyer was thinking that this would trip up Jesus and they could catch him in a mistake because there were over 600 laws. And so Jesus tells them this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. That's what Jesus said. Jesus told this lawyer, he took all 600 and something laws and he said, this is the greatest one. Love God. And then he said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus took all these laws and he summed them up in two laws. That's pretty amazing, right? Of course, they were beside themselves. They had no words to say. They were speechless. Because he said, everything, if you will love God with everything that is in you, and if you will love your neighbor as yourself, then you've got it made. So I believe that you can apply these two commandments. The only two things that Jesus said you must do is love the Lord with everything and love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then we can take our list. Everybody take your list out, your top five. And I went ahead and put a list of my five things, and I'm going to tell you my list. I want to be healthier. I want to have more money. Real spiritual here, isn't it? I want to go to Africa. I really do. I want to graduate from college, hopefully here in the next year or two. And I want to retire to Florida with my wife. That's my top five. That's what I want to do. It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's not hard. Now, will these things happen? I don't know. But they're my goals, they're my dreams, they're my desires. Do they line up with these two things? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself? They could. They honestly could. If I am praying and I am seeking His face and those are my dreams and those are my desires to do someday, then I truly believe that if I am listening to the Father and I'm listening to God, then either those dreams will come true or those dreams will change. You see what I'm saying? Because I'm going to the Father and I'm asking, Lord, what are my dreams and my desires? What are your dreams and your desires for my life? What is it that you want me to do? What is it you want me to accomplish? And if I put everything that I want to do and I take those five dreams, those five desires that I have, and I place them at the feet of Jesus and I say, Lord, I only want to do these if you allow me to do these. And if I'm not in your will, then I don't want to do them. Because think about it, if I'm healthier, then I am lining up with what the Word says about my body being a temple, right? And that is showing love to God and love to my Father, amen? If I have more money, then I can pay off my debt and I can give more to the church and other organizations that help to spread the message of God around the world. Now, I would like to go on a trip to Africa to see all my missionary friends that are there. And I want to go on a safari, honestly. I just want to go see the animals. It'd be kind of cool. But I think I can make it a missions trip. If God will allow me to do that, that'd be so cool. And if I graduate from college, then I have gained more knowledge that will help me to teach you God's Word. That as the Word of God comes real and relevant to my life, I can make it hopefully real and relevant to your life. And then retiring in Florida is something that Kelly and I have always wanted to do. We've always talked about it. We lived there for a year. We loved it, and we want to go back sometime. And I can love God anywhere, so why not the beach? Amen? See how I did that there? But do you get my point? Do you understand what I'm coming from and what I'm saying? That my dreams and my desires need to line up with what God is wanting me to do. And so whatever I do, I need to ask these two questions. If I do this, am I loving God while I'm doing it? Or am I loving my neighbor as I am doing it? Those two questions. That's all Jesus asked us. That's all he said. That's the two commandments that he gave us. You need to love God and you need to love your neighbor. And so that's where I believe that the church needs to be as well. Whatever we do as a church, we need to ask these two questions. And if we do this event, are we loving God and are we loving our neighbor? And if we can't say yes to both these questions, then we don't need to do it. So we want to plan an event. If we want to plan something, we want to do something that we feel like God is, then we want to ask these questions. With this, do I love God? And with this event, do I love my neighbor? And if we can answer yes, then we can do it. And if we can't, then we don't do it. It's that simple. Colossians 3:17 says what? Anybody got this memorized yet? You've heard it a lot this morning, hadn't you? Can we say it together? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Can we say it again? Let's read it again. It's up there. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Here's what the, I believe this is the message I put. It says, let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Here's the Amplified. And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him. I want to ask our worship team to come back this morning. Can we stand this morning all over this place? I want us to end this service. We're going to praise. And I want you to understand this pastor's heart. Everything that we do needs to be done to glorify God. Amen? We need to live for him, not live for ourselves. As Christians, as believers, we are to live for him. He died for me. so I can live for Him. I can serve Him. I can give Him my praise. I can worship Him in the sanctuary. I can worship Him at my house. I can worship Him in driving down the car. How many knows when you're driving in Fort Smith, you need to worship Him because there's some crazies out there. Amen? But we're going to sing this song, How Great is Our God. Hallelujah. And I want you to sing it. Can I do something like we did last week? Would y'all entertain this pastor? And would y'all come forward? And can we stand all across the front here? Just all across the front. Let's stand. And I want us to worship with everything that we have. Let's just, if you can, lift your hands. If you can, whatever you can do. I want us to just sing this song. The words will be on the screen. And I just want us to take a moment and just think about how awesome He is. The